Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Ron Sellers on evangelical views of social media use.
54% of all adult evangelicals say social media is more harmful than it is helpful to the Christian faith, but they still use it regularly, which is akin to saying, I know that having a cigar is going to make it much more likely that I will get throat cancer or oral cancer, but I'm going to have one after dinner every night anyways, right? And we do it all the time with all kinds of things.
Ron Sellers next. Social media is widely used by Christians and many people in general. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and more. But what do Christians think of social media? Today we talk with Ron Sellers, president of Gray Matter Research, about their new report, Social Media, Helpful or Harmful to Christianity. Ron, what were the most significant findings from this research?
Well, you know, human beings have this amazing ability to know something is bad for them and do it anyway. I mean, you cannot tell me today that anybody in the United States who smokes thinks it's good for them. People are obese, which is one of the worst health situations you can be in. And yet they continue to feed that obesity. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Drunk driving. Keeping a gun around with children without having safety precautions in place. Having a pool with no pool gate when you've got a two-year-old. We see this happen all the time with all sorts of different behaviors. Social media is no different. We ask people, one of the core questions we ask people is, and this is evangelical Protestants that we surveyed, do you feel that in general, social media is more helpful or more harmful to the Christian faith in the U.S.? And 54% of all adult evangelicals, to say nothing of the teenagers or the children we didn't speak with, 54% of all adult evangelicals say social media is more harmful than it is helpful to the Christian faith, but they still use it regularly, which is akin to saying, I know that having a cigar is going to make it much more likely that I will get throat cancer or oral cancer, but I'm going to have one after dinner every night anyways, right? And we do it all the time with all kinds of things.
Those that use it and still believe it's harmful, did they say what overrides that in their minds, why they use it anyway?
No, we had no idea what we were going to find in this. So a lot of times, you know, you look back on a survey, once it's done, you say, oh, I wish we had asked this. Oh, I wish we investigated that.
Of course.
And we would have had we known what some of the results were going to be. But we did not ask them why they continue to use it. What we did, though, is we asked them, okay, you tell us it's more harmful than it is helpful. What makes you feel that way? And the same way those who say it's more helpful than harmful, what makes you feel that way? And I mentioned the 54% of evangelicals. When we look across all evangelicals who are online, which is about 95% of us, 58% say it's more harmful, 42% say it's more helpful. And so when you look at the fact that 58% of all evangelicals say it's more harmful than helpful, and that 54% of all evangelicals feel it is more harmful but continue to use it, you can see that it's well over 90% of those who feel it is more harmful than helpful who are still using it anyways. So, you know, we know we should read the Bible. We don't. We know we should go to church. We don't. We know we should give money. We don't, et cetera, et cetera. So this kind of willful ignorance or willfully ignoring what we know is good for us and what we know is bad for us, it happens with both positive behaviors and negative behaviors.
Well, with those that believe it is helpful, looking at it like that, what are the reasons? What do they gain from social media, whether it's, and I think you point out in the research that a rather large percentage of especially the older demographic uses Facebook, for example.
Right. We actually compared we asked people what they use on a monthly basis, at least a monthly basis. And then we compared that to data from Pew Research Center, which has these kinds of things for all Americans. And really, the specific social media platforms that evangelicals use are quite similar to what Americans in general use. Mm-hmm. There are relatively few differences. Evangelicals do tend to skew somewhat older. Facebook also tends to skew somewhat older, which is one of the reasons that evangelicals are more likely than Americans in general to use Facebook. In terms of why they feel it is more helpful mm-hmm. than harmful, among those who believe this, by far the most common reason is they believe that it can be helpful in evangelism.
Oh.
40% of those who say there's more positive than negative believe this because they say it makes it easier to spread the word. Now, are they themselves doing that? Are they themselves using it for that? No idea.
Yeah.
Given how uncommon evangelism is among the evangelical population in general, I would say many of them are not. But they do recognize that it is a way. In fact, we had people say things like, and these are direct quotes that people gave us, I think anything that can help spread the word and make it easier for people to learn and find out about churches is a win. So social media is great for that. Somebody else said it can be a way to reach out to the unsaved and those in countries that persecute others in open worship. So they're even looking at it and saying, regardless of what it means to me or to my fellow believers here in, you know, Muskegon or Medford or wherever they are, I know the people in Saudi Arabia might be able to see it. I know the people in China might be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So evangelism is one of the most common. It is by far the most common reason it is considered more helpful than harmful. There are a variety of other reasons. Accessibility is mentioned by 18%. And that basically, it's sort of an offshoot mm-hmm. of the evangelism, but it's not just evangelism. It's things like people saying, I can't get out of the house because of my disability. I attend church on Facebook. Or I get to attend, you know, there's this church that I love in Dallas, and I watch their services every week. Or there's this teacher that I really appreciate her messages. She's in Nashville, so I can't see her live, and I can't find her on television anymore, so I watch her online, and I watch her through her Facebook page, or I watch her on YouTube. So there are a lot of people who say it gives me access to things that I couldn't access otherwise. 16% say the reason it's more helpful than harmful is because of the connection that it makes
mm-hmm.
between and among believers, and the fact that it can be used to build community. Like one person said, the platform I use gives people a community of individuals for prayer, empathy, sympathy, and support during trying times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and very 11% said it provides them with encouragement and it has helped build their faith. You know, I am encouraged by seeing others similar to me living out their faith. YouTube introduces you to Christians who have interesting experience to share with the public. So I can post things about Jesus. We can pray for one another. They're encouraging posts that make me feel happy, loved, and cared for. So all of these are examples of all of the positive things that can come out of social media and all the good ways that it can be used. And it's very obvious that there are a lot of positives that are involved with social media.
And even though, as you pointed out, the majority of evangelical Christians that you surveyed use social media, and yet there are a number of points that are made by those you surveyed as to why they believe it's harmful. What are some of those? I mean, they may be obvious, but maybe not.
Well, anybody who is actually on social media, which is going to be the vast majority of your listeners, will be familiar with what is being talked about here. The number one thing that people talk about as the reason they feel it's more harmful than helpful is concerns about the content. Like one person says, vulgar language, uncensored content for young adults, nudity, profane language, cussing. Somebody else said there's a lot of unsavory content posted on social media, which undermines the teachings of the Christian church, as well as Christian parents who try to direct their children on the right path. And people talked about anything from, you know, just outright pornography, nudity, to just worldly content. That was number one. But there are a lot of other things that people complained about. 29% said, look, it's not just Christians. Social media is harmful in general. It harms everybody. You know, that there's one, this is a rather long quote, but I think it's really, really insightful. I think social media adds greatly to one's idea of individualism and comparison. The more I spend time on social media, the more I get consumed by thinking about myself, which makes it really hard to hear the voice of God and rely on Him. When I wake up and the first thing I do is go on my phone, I feel distracted and unable to focus well throughout the rest of the day. Mm. This is a really hard habit to get out of. Mm-hmm. And we can't think about God when we're thinking about ourselves.
I'm wondering, too, I don't know if this came up, I'm wondering, what about the propagation of false news narratives? And also, we so often in different contexts, I mean, certainly political or even in religious, the polarization, the division, and can social media, or it certainly seems that it does, tend to accentuate.
That came up as well. There were 15% who said it has a general negative influence when it comes to people related to their faith, and that it spreads anti-Christian thought. It encourages people away from Christianity. Like one lady said, social media is the work of Satan. Nothing good has ever happened because of social media. Now, interestingly enough, that woman is a regular social media user.
We had
14% who talked about specifically false doctrine and bad teaching. Social media teaches people to take shortcuts, only read headlines and believe without questions, right? So 14% talked about, 12% talked about outright lies, gossip, and misinformation, specifically about Christianity. 11% objected to what they feel is the bullying, harassment, and silencing of Christians. It portrays Christians as hypocritical radicals. It promotes ideas that are in opposition to Christianity, and it criticizes Christianity, etc. So, I mean, the fascinating thing about this is as I read every single one of these comments, and as I look at every single one of these categories, what people talked about, it is an inviolable truth that all of these are factual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are, okay, maybe not the one talking about that it's of Satan. I mean, that's a judgment call.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of, there's a lot of profanity on there. There's a lot of bullying on there. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of racism, anti-Semitism, misogyny, anti-Christian sentiments, you know, anti-Democrat, anti-Republican, anti-Libertarian, anti-American, whatever anti-anything. It's incontrovertibly true. But so are all of the positive comments.
And it's particularly interesting that, and certainly this will be no surprise, that the more spiritually engaged evangelicals, those that are more spiritually engaged, and I wonder if you could define that for us, tend to be those that are on more social media platforms. The more socially engaged, the more social media platforms they tend to use.
Spiritually engaged.
Spiritually engaged, pardon me.
Platforms, yeah.
That
actually came as a little bit of a surprise to me, because mm-hmm. we tend to have this picture of the, I don't want to say holy rollers because it has such a negative connotation, but the people who are really sold out to God,
uh-huh.
right? The
yeah.
people who are constantly in church, constantly reading the Word, studying the world, going to small group, et cetera, that those people tend to be less worldly. Right. They're less likely to be reading, I don't know, Game of Thrones and Harry Potter and, you know, latest murder novel or whatever, and more likely to be reading something from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I mean, we have this picture of that. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe this is my own bias showing, but I had kind of a picture going into this that the more spiritually engaged somebody would be, the less they might be in something that is quote unquote, of this world, which mm-hmm. is social media. The opposite proved to be true. And we define spiritual engagement by the more frequently somebody attends small group or Bible study, reads the Bible, studies the Bible, prays, and attends worship services, the more they do all of those things, we give them a score on frequency of each one, and then we have full, high, moderate, low, and none. And the higher they are in the scale of spiritual engagement, the more likely they are to be using social media, which was a bit of a surprise to me. Now, what we don't know is, are those people using social media the same way that everybody else does, mm-hmm. or are they specifically using it as a means to study the Bible, as a means to pray with other Christians, or ask for, you know, ask for prayer requests from the non-Christian population, or whatever type of Christian outreach this may be.
Certainly, maybe this is obvious to say this, the use of social media sounds very analogous just to living in the world. A lot of those, we have those same challenges, pro and con, just going through our lives. And I'm wondering, particularly with the subject of social media, have you found that, I don't know if this was a part of your research or not, but would you like churches, or are you aware of churches offering any guidance regarding the use of social media? Because it takes a lot of discernment, obviously, and but it's like the fish in the water. I rarely hear it referenced in church or in a Christian context.
I mean, I don't have any statistics on what proportion of pastors have preached on this or anything like that. But I'm in the same boat as you are. I don't hear about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you look across, whether you're driving past church signs or you know, looking on the internet or whatever, and you see sermon topics. And there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of exegesis. There's a lot of, you know, we're going to be going through the book of James for the next 2 months or whatever. But then when it's more topical, there's a lot of marriage, parenting, workplace, money, giving, you know, a mm-hmm. lot of things connected to daily life, which yeah. is great because, I mean, we need guidance for daily life, and there's no better guide than Scripture.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything related to social media, related to using the internet. I mean, there are sermons about sin or teachings about sin and how we are to be holy and set apart and things like that. You can apply those to whatever, the TV you watch, the social media, the people you associate with, etc. I can't think of anything that I've ever seen related to social media.
I'm wondering, I know I have to let you go here shortly, Ron, but in terms of time spent using social media, I mean, somebody might, you know, go onto YouTube for a few minutes in the morning and that's it. Might go to Facebook for, maybe for a couple of minutes, and others might be on for hours throughout the day, throughout work, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. I mean, it could consume people potentially.
It can. And you know, one of the things that I've been noticing a lot, and I've heard other people talk about this, is how social media, especially some platforms, are not really social anymore. I mean, if you look at Facebook, when I first joined Facebook, and this was years ago, it was a way to stay in touch with everybody from old high school friends to people I used to work with, to people from other churches I attended in other cities and things like that. I look at my Facebook feed now, and I might see maybe 5 to 10% from people I know. And the rest of it is funny cat videos and advertisements and dubious news stories and AI images that are purporting to be, you know, just absurd things that are out on there. Mm-hmm. It's really not a way for me to stay in touch with people anymore. It's not social. It's just a way to sit and waste time.
I don't think, one thing I haven't asked you, I don't believe, is just how different age groups look at this. I know you break it down, I think, between 18 and 29, 30 and 49, and over 50 are the old folks. How does social media use differ through the age groups? I think you did mention the younger age groups are on more platforms, for example.
Yes, the younger age, the under 30, evangelicals under 30, and this is true of all Americans as well, are regularly on, and regularly means at least once a month. They are regularly on an average of 5 different platforms. When you get into the 30 to 49 age group, this falls to 3 different platforms. It falls to 2 different platforms on average among those age 50 and older. Now, one, we didn't try to measure time, partly because survey measurements of time spent are very inaccurate. People have no idea, in most cases, how much time they spend. So you ask them, they say, yeah, 20 minutes. But if you actually record what they're doing, it's like 2.5 hours, right? And the same thing applies to watching television. When Nielsen started with the people meters that automatically record what's on, they were finding that the TV is often on 5, 6, 7 hours a day. You ask people how much time they watch, and they're telling us 1.5 to 2 hours, right? So we didn't try to measure that, but you've got to figure when people are on a lot more platforms, it's doubtful that the older folks are on Facebook for an hour, whereas the younger people are on TikTok for 10 minutes and then Facebook for 10 minutes and then Instagram for 10 minutes, et cetera. So, we know from other data that young people are much stronger consumers of social media. We also know that among teenagers, there have been studies that show the more time they spend on social media, the more likely they are to struggle educationally with grades, with study habits, socially, the more likely they are to have antisocial behaviors, to end up with teen pregnancies, just this wide variety of different undesirable behaviors. And a lot of it, people are still arguing over what causes that. But one of the main things that researchers have indicated is because, really two main things. Number one, everybody shows their perfect lives on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't post a picture. You post a picture of yourself standing in front of this gorgeous waterfall with the rest of your family all smiling and happy. You don't post a picture of yourself, you know, with drool coming out of your mouth as you just get up in the morning. You got bedhead and everything else. So you see everybody else's perfect lives, which are better than yours. So it causes a lot of disaffection. Mm-hmm. The other factor is that it's exceedingly, even though it's called social media, that might be the biggest misnomer of anything that we've ever had as an invention. It is antisocial. It is exceedingly isolating. And the more people use it, the less time they are spending with other people. And so, yes, it can be great to connect you with Aunt Susie, who's living 800 miles away, right? And you can show her the grandkids, the nieces and nephews, whatever. So there are good uses for it. But it is actually created with algorithms that actually encourage more use, addiction, etc. And so it's very, very hard. It's a little bit like smoking. I don't know very many people who have one cigarette a week.
Right.
Right. You either smoke, now you might smoke 3 packs, you might smoke 1 pack, but you smoke all the time or you don't smoke at all with cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that tends to be a little bit what social media ends up like, which is you use it very frequently or you're just not on it.
Well, my guest, Mr. Ron Sellers, president of Gray Matter Research. We've been talking about their report, Helpful or Harmful, Evangelicals and Social Media. They did in cooperation or partnership with Infinity Concepts. Well, Ron, obviously there's more to this, but first of all, how can people read this report for themselves? And what, for you, as the president of Gray Matter Research, is really the takeaway from it?
Well, the first one is very easy, which is they can just go to our website, which is Gray, and Gray is with an E, not an A, graymatterresearch.com. There's a tab there called Articles and Studies, and there all of our different studies can be found, and it covers everything from donors to giving among the evangelical population to thoughts on artificial intelligence, church attendance patterns, all this kind of stuff. In terms of the big takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things to me is what we talked about earlier, which is what are churches and Christian leaders doing to provide help and guidance and promote positive usage of social media? You know, a lot of these Christians are out there looking for teaching. Is the church, and believe me, there's a lot of bad teaching that's out there. There's a lot of teaching that's 90% right on target and 10% is way off base. And that's what's most dangerous is the stuff that's, you know, that tastes like a hot chocolate, but it's got a little dollop of rat poison in it.
Yeah.
So Are churches giving people, hey, here are 10 YouTube channels that have great teaching that you can rely on. Here are 10 websites that you can go to. Here are 15 websites that, you know, you can basically trust this teaching.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to social media for encouragement, for interaction with fellow Christians, for fellowship. Are churches doing anything to promote that kind of thing within their own church? People go to church for community. They go to social media for community. What a natural combination.
Yeah.
Right? But our church is creating discussion groups, creating, they're not going to create their own social media platform, but are they on Facebook saying, let's have a discussion about last week's sermon? What do you think about the new building project? Or what are your concerns? Let's talk about it. What are your needs? Things like that. And that would be especially important in large churches where a lot of people might go to church with the same people and never meet them. You know, church of 4,000 people, that's very common.
Right.
So, I mean, there are a lot of things. Are churches giving people guidance on how do you do things? Like somebody insults your belief in Jesus. How do you respond?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody does that face to face, we probably are not going to respond with invective and cussing and, you know, being just nasty. Probably not.
Yeah.
There are those of us who will. But when you're anonymous and some anonymous clown starts off with this stuff or criticizes you for looking fat in your picture or whatever it may be, how do you respond? Right? Because just like people who put a fish on their car and then flip people off mm-hmm. when they're driving, anybody who's seeing your profile on social media can see if you're connected with your church, if you're in a prayer group, if you're, you know, whatever these activities are, you're saying, praise God, this happened, I've got a prayer request, etc. And then they say something nasty and this is how you respond. And it reflects on the faith. So our church is getting guidance in any of this. And, you know, I don't have proof of it's 2% that are, it's 10% that are, whatever. But as you pointed out earlier, the tendency of just observing what's out there would be to say, not many are doing this. And it is such a pervasive, this is not a niche kind of thing. Hmm. The fascinating thing is I've seen churches have whole sermon series on is Harry Potter something a Christian should read or not. Well, believe me, far more people are using Facebook than have ever opened a page of Harry Potter.
That's for sure.
Far more evangelicals are using social media than are going to church, than are reading the Bible, than are parenting, than are working, than are married, or any of the things that sermons are commonly about. Far more. So where's the church?
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, Ron Sellers, president of Gray Matter Research. You can read their report, Social Media, Helpful or Harmful to Christianity, by going to graymatterresearch.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again on Monday at the same time for another edition of His People.